Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. Well, it's time now to return again to this very, very difficult topic that we've been covering over the past few weeks. And it's one that it just cuts across. It cuts into so many of the principles that are central to what we're trying to do on this show, which is defend freedom, defend truth, and also sort of promote open discourse to be able to find out what is really true about this world. And the subject of vaccines, the vaccine controversy, the questions over whether vaccines should be mandatory or not, and then the question over whether or not people should be even allowed to discuss the questions about vaccines are all tangled up. I mean, you know, let's just consider one by one several propositions. You know, are vaccines safe? Are vaccines dangerous? You know, that's a question that people may have in their mind. They want to be able to know the answer to that. But then there's this question that has been raised in the media again and again, is it should we basically take away people's choice on the question of vaccine because of this all-important issue of herd immunity, which is continually thrust as being so important that we can't simply allow people to make the decision themselves like they do with pretty much everything else in their lives. Now, in this case, we're going to have to basically just take away their freedom and just say, no, you're going to just have to take the shot. And then, of course, that then raises the next problem, as in any situation where you're applying a totalitarian solution to a problem in society, is you say, well, should we even allow people to discuss it? Because if we allow people to discuss it and have their opinion freely expressed, then that may encourage people to not take the shot. So do we have to actually suppress dissent as well? And this is basically the slippery slope down into pure totalitarianism. And yet, so many people, so many very normal, good-minded people, people who consider themselves to be decent human beings, actually go along with it. And that's the incredible thing to me. The thing I find absolutely staggering and blows my mind on a daily basis, and it's what makes me spend hours and hours every day researching this vaccine topic, finding out what people are saying about it, because I'm finding people everywhere, left, right, and center, agreeing with an approach to society which is only really akin to Nazi Germany or Stalinist Russia. And they're quite blandly and blithely saying, yes, yes, we should just do it. We should just basically force people to do this, and we should prevent people from being able to talk about it. Yeah, and it's all okay. It's all normal now. So in the second hour, I would like to now welcome to discuss all this my guest, Stephanie Messenger, who has been on Truth News Radio before. Stephanie lost a child to a vaccine many years ago and has become an activist and is very involved in promoting the cause of questioning vaccines. And Stephanie was the person behind the now cancelled tour of Dr. Cherie Tenpenny in Australia. And we're going to be talking about all these issues and Dr. Tenpenny's work and what actually happened with that planned tour. So without further ado, welcome to Truth News Radio, Stephanie Messenger. Sorry, I know you're not a doctor. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely, Stephanie. Now, let's start off with a little bit of talk about about Dr. Tenpenny's work and why you wanted to bring her to Australia.
Okay, well, Dr. Tenpenny has been looking into the vaccination issue for, I think it's 13 years now. She used to work in emergency department at one of the hospitals in Georgia in the United States. And she was hearing that there were people who had alternate views about the vaccination issue, so she decided to go to the CDC, that's the Centre for Disease Control, archives to look and see what the CDC said so she could disprove people like me, basically. And she actually did exactly the opposite. She found that within their archives there was a lot of data that proved that vaccines weren't safe, they weren't effective, and I guess what she said shocked her the most was that they knew all about this and they were not telling parents about it. So she has become an advocate for people to be able to make a free choice about vaccinations, and obviously in that she educates people about the other side of the issue that is not out there in mainstream very often. So she...
Great.
Yeah, she was coming to Australia on a holiday, so I invited her to speak and extend her time here, which she very graciously said that she would do. And we set up some events for her to be heard. And, as you know, it was met with an enormous amount of opposition from the extremist pro-vaccine lobby, and they applied a lot of pressure on the venues that we had already secured. And, by the way, these venues, we did tell them that the vaccination issue was going to be spoken about at, not at the dinners, because it wasn't going to be spoken about at the dinners,
Yes.
At the six seminars, we did explain to all of them that it would be spoken about. We told them that there may be a little bit of opposition because in our in talks I've done previously all around Australia, there has been some opposition, but they definitely cranked up the opposition and the harassment of those businesses to such a point that they could not deal with it anymore. You know, they were getting all sorts of threats. There was bomb threats against, I think, two venues. There was threats against one of the venue owners' person and his family. That's what
actually
he,
physical
he
threats,
me.
Threats of
yes.
harm against the
yeah,
family.
That's right. He told me that himself, and you know, they were flooding his emails with about 400 emails a day. They were jamming his phone so that no legitimate customers could get through, and making all sorts of.
This really blows my mind, Stephanie. I mean, to think that this is actually happening in this age in a civilized democracy,
mm-hmm.
and it's not being met with shock and horror. In fact, it's being pretty much scrubbed under the carpet, the fact that all this happened. It's really criminal in nature what happened to you, and yet we've heard about complaints about the tour. We've heard that the AMA and various people were saying that it shouldn't happen, and various people were coming forth, and there was coverage on the ABC and other mainstream news.
Mm.
But the fact that you were subjected to these threats has actually been denied and actually not treated seriously. It's actually been completely overlooked.
Look, I personally
was not. It really should be a police matter.
Yeah, I personally was not threatened that I know about. But I will tell you that I actually do not read most of the nasty things that come into my email and Facebook. I don't read
yes.
them. I have people scan them and then they get deleted because I refuse to get down in the gutter where these people are coming from. So I don't personally read it. It was the venue owners themselves who copped all of this harassment and the threats. So at the end of the day, we had to decide what we were going to do. Some of them did. There was one venue who did not cancel, but they said that we would have to have a lot of security there, and we would have to sign to say that we would be responsible for anyone's behaviour at the premises, and that included people who were not paying guests. So clearly we couldn't do that. We can't. It's not
yes.
our job to be responsible for everyone else's behaviour. So we did end up cancelling that last one. And we decided we would find alternative venues and keep them secret until the night before, which is what I actually do normally with my own seminars over the last 3 or 4 years. But then we just decided that at the end of the day, a lot of people were bringing babies and young children along. They had asked if that was okay because they were breastfeeding or, you know, they didn't want to leave them for a whole day with different people. And we had said, yes, that would be fine as long as they took the children outside if the children were being noisy. And we really could not bring ourselves to go ahead with this. When you're dealing with extremists like we have been, and really they are terrorists against free speech, and they're totally unpredictable. They're, in a lot of ways, they're mentally deranged. If you have a look at some of the comments they make against anyone who questions vaccination, you really have to see that a lot of these people are truly have a mental problem. So we could not guarantee the safety of the little ones coming along or the adults or the venues themselves either. So we decided at that point, when that was really, you know, a realisation that we made solidly, that we just did not want to be responsible for that, and that's why we did cancel. So,
and it's really, really sad day for democracy, for freedom in Australia, that you had to do that. It's a victory for fascism, and it's a victory for censorship and suppression of information to the extent that people in Australia are not even really aware of what happened.
What
people are aware of, I guess, are the news reports, because it was covered in the news that there was opposition to your speech, but the way it was covered was that, you know, very important, respectable people were standing up and saying, well, we don't think that this is very good. And it really made you and Cherie Tenpenny look like the evil people. You looked like the terrorists.
Well, I didn't actually
get that. And they looked
that. I didn't get that when I watched quite a few of the programs, because when Dr. Tenpenny was on the Today Show, for instance, I watched that one. I watched a couple that I knew were going to be on. And she spoke so well that I think this has actually backfired on the pro-vaccine extremists, because what happened, and even the people who were high-profile people speaking out, I think it may have backfired on them, because Dr. Tenpenny did such a good job of just letting people know that there is another side to this and they should be looking into it. And she did talk about free speech and all of these other issues you've just mentioned. So I don't feel like it's a win for them at all, because a lot of people have now gone on to Dr. Tenpenny's website and had a look at the information, people who didn't even know her name previously.
And we are just going to break. Sorry to interrupt. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. We're just going for a short ad break and we will be back in a few minutes. Stay with us. With Truth News Radio, and my guest today is Stephanie Messenger. Stephanie is the person responsible for organising the now cancelled Cherie Tenpenny speaking tour of Australia, and we've been discussing the really shocking catalogue of threats and terrorist fascist tactics that were used to essentially bring down the whole event. And we're just talking also about Cherie Tenpenny's appearances on television. And perhaps you'd like to continue there, Stephanie. You were saying that you think that she managed to actually counter a lot of the negativity because of her clarity. And I would certainly agree with you on that.
Yes, very much so. And the other thing that I think people need to take stock about is looking at the behaviour. The pro-vaccine terrorists, they really showed themselves for what they are as well.
So, but unfortunately, the general public is not aware of that. I mean, I've done a lot of searching on this, on that particular topic, and basically it's only ever reported as, oh, she claimed. Like they always say in the media, oh, Stephanie Messenger claims there was that. They never admit it. There is no admission in the mainstream that any of that occurred. And there should be. There should be a police investigation. That actually should have been the main news story, that you were subjected to terrorist threats, but it's not. Unfortunately, that's because the mainstream media has an agenda to promote only one angle on this story.
Sure. Look, so the police were involved in three of the venues. The police were involved. But I don't know what the outcome of that was, because, as I say, I was very busy with lots of things going on, and I prefer not to get down to their level and give them any of my energy. So, but I just really want people to know that yes, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny will be heard. She will be heard, you know, some way in the very close future. We're working on how we're going to do that. So they cannot silence this debate, and they're not going to silence Dr. Tenpenny or other health professionals who are speaking out against this.
Absolutely. And I'm hoping to get Dr. Tenpenny on this show as well soon. I know she's very busy, but at some point in the next few weeks, hoping to get her on Truth News Radio. Now, to return to the question of the perceptions of the event, and this is very important, because see, we live in a world today where perceptions are constantly managed. Reality is not simply what you and I perceive. Reality is what is given to us through the channels, through the media, and media creates a perception of reality that becomes people's reality, and part of that has been to actually portray Sherry Tenpenny, to portray people who bring information forward which contradicts the mainstream as a threat, as a type of terrorist, because, as they say, you're encouraging people to do things which will interfere with the creation of what they call the herd immunity, which will then lead to people becoming sick who shouldn't have become sick. So a lot of the coverage of what you and many people like you are doing is to say that you're actually a threat to society. And we've seen many people come forward to say this. I think someone from the Australian Medical Association came forward. I don't have the exact details, sorry, but I know that that there have been people who've come forward and said this. And what I want to just try and address with you, Stephanie, is the claim that what you are doing is a threat. Let's first of all remove one aspect of it completely. You are not, your platform is not about trying to stop people from vaccinating. You're not sort of, your angle is not to tell people don't vaccinate. Your angle is not to interfere with what people's decisions are. Correct me if I'm wrong, but your aim and what you do is to provide an open platform where you go forth, you organise events, but you talk about it. People can come. If people don't want to come, it's up to them. You don't want to disrupt. You don't want to threaten or destabilize what currently exists. You simply want to provide information. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Is that what your agenda is?
Yeah, absolutely. I do not have any business in what people do. But what really annoys me is people are making decisions that can affect their children for the rest of their lives with very little information. So All we are doing is providing the information so people are able to look at both sides of this issue. And you know, we don't really, it's not up to us what people do. We don't have any stake in that whatsoever.
Yes, it's a very important point. It's a very important point because, see, some people might perceive what you do as kind of like a revolutionary movement that's trying to, you know, destroy our society or something like that. I mean, basically, what you're doing is the most polite, civilized thing, is you're saying, let's just have an open discussion. Let's just talk about this. And everyone can make up their mind. I mean, you're pro-choice.
Well, look, I don't, as I said, I don't have any stake in what people do. I just would like them to do it with all of the information. If they still want to do it, that's entirely up to them. We offer support for people who no longer vaccinate their children because we find that once people have made that decision, they get a lot of harassment and intimidation from family, relatives, friends, and the medical community. So we're also there to support them in their decision if they've made a decision not to vaccinate. But really, that's what we're about, supplying information. And everyone should be embracing that. And we are often accused of doing things like, you know, causing illness and death. I mean, I get emails quite often from people calling me a baby killer and I should go and drink a bottle of bleach and all sorts of really remarkable things. But, as I said, we just want people to make a decision based on the facts and not based on a very limited amount of information that the government and medical industry and drug companies want people to know.
Indeed.
You know, quite a few years ago I did an interview on, I think it was ABC Radio, and they had called me and asked me if I would debate Dr. Michael Wooldridge when he was the health minister under the Howard government. And I agreed to do that, so I was hanging on the line waiting. And I waited for about 20 minutes, and then I think it was the producer of the show came on and said, look, Dr. Wooldridge is refusing to debate you. And I said, well, please ask Dr. Wooldridge what he is so scared about. And she said, no, look, we've been trying to talk to him for quite some time, but what he will allow is for you to speak and then he will come on after. So I had to agree to that, otherwise I would not have been able to get any points across. So I did speak for a couple of minutes, and then Dr. Wooldridge came on after that, and he spoke for about 15 to 20 minutes.
Mm.
And at the end of that interview, the interviewer, who was very much for vaccination, said to Dr. Wooldridge, look, you're saying that these people, referring to me and others who are educating people, are very dangerous. Why doesn't the government just give parents all of the information and then people like her would go away? And Dr. Wooldridge's response was, because our studies have shown when you give parents too much information about vaccinations, they won't do it.
My goodness.
That's what he said.
Isn't that revealing? My goodness.
It is very revealing, yeah. So the government wants people kept in the dark about this, as does the medical industry and the drug companies, of course.
We're just going to break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Really interesting discussion. Truth News Radio, and I'm talking to Stephanie Messenger, vaccine pro-choice activist and organiser of the cancelled Cherie Tenpenny speaking tour in Australia. Now, there's a very interesting anecdote there from what you said there in the last segment, Stephanie, that Michael Wooldridge actually admitted that by giving people information, they are more likely or less likely to actually vaccinate. And what this means is that there's information out there which is which contraindicates the safety of the vaccines. As with any medicine, I mean, every medicine brings with it a certain risk. And when we take a medicine, we should be aware of that risk. That's called informed consent. And in many cases, it is worth the risk. And I'm extremely in favour of technology and medicines and antibiotics and a lot of things that have saved lives. I do think a lot of them are overused. And I think that there is far too much commercialisation of pharmaceutical products, but I am totally in favour of medicines if they work. But you have to be aware of the risk because, well, for one thing, it's not fair, but also the other side of the coin is that the manufacturer needs to protect themselves against litigation by giving you that information. That informed consent is actually a protection for the manufacturer of the product as well. I mean, let's talk a bit about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's very interesting because if you look up in the Macquarie Dictionary, it says that the definition of safe is free from harm.
Yeah.
Now, there is no way in the world that vaccinations can be described as safe. For one thing, if you read the product insert to show that shows what happened to participants in the trial, there are many, many different conditions listed that were identified during the trial, and that's just in the very short trial period. Plus, if you have a look on the compensation fund for the US government for vaccine damage, they've paid out over $3 billion in vaccine damage, and only about a quarter of the people who ever apply for any compensation receive anything at all. And the Federal Drug Administration in the US admits that only about 10% of reactions are ever even reported. So vaccines, there is no way in the world they should ever be described as safe because the definition of that word is free from harm. So
absolutely.
You know, it doesn't even come close. The problem we have these days is trying to weigh up the risk versus benefit ratio. And it is absolutely impossible to do because the diseases are exaggerated and the side effects are being played down and even denied. So we're never really going to know what the true risk-benefit ratio is with vaccinations, that's for sure. And another thing I wanted to touch on, as well as the safety issue, they also say that vaccines are effective. Effective at what? You know, parents think that by vaccinating that they will prevent their children from getting the disease. But actually, that's not what the drug company says at all. The drug company says that effective is that it raised an antibody level in the person who received, one dose, two dose, or three doses, sometimes several boosters are needed in order to get to this magical raised antibody level.
Yes.
But I will tell you, there is absolutely no scientific evidence that I have ever seen, and I have looked and looked and looked and asked doctors and health ministers and scientists to provide it. There's no scientific evidence that shows a raised antibody level equates to immunity. None.
Right.
They just think it does. But we can see very clearly that it isn't true because there are many fully vaccinated people getting the so-called vaccine-preventable disease. They are getting it all the time. In fact, the whooping cough epidemic that was going on for many years longer than the normal cycle of whooping cough. On mainstream television, once again, I saw doctors from Westmead Children's Hospital, the head immunologist at the time, admit that nearly all the whooping cough was in the fully vaccinated. And when he was asked by the interviewer, well, what are the parents supposed to do then? His answer was, well, they must continue to vaccinate.
Yes.
In other words, keep doing what's not working and risk the health of your child having the side effects. It's absolutely ludicrous.
Now, it's claimed that that vaccinated people usually have a milder form of the illness.
I know that's a claim, but that there's no evidence for that. That's just one of these little claims that they make. It's
right.
a myth. The severity you get a disease is dependent on the state of your immune system. That's it. So some vaccinated people can still have a reasonable immune system if they were, you know, very constitutionally strong to start with, and unvaccinated people can have a strong immune system, just like unvaccinated people can have a poor immune system, as can vaccinated people. It depends what you do to create the immune system, to create and keep an immune system strong.
I see.
All of those things to keep immune system strong actually come from nature. They do not come from a drug company. They come from nature.
Well, this is the divide. This is what separates people who are in favour of natural health from people who adopt the rigid medical paradigm. Society is somewhat divided between, and I'm on your side in that area. I totally believe in that, but of course, a lot of people think that's a load of hokum.
Well, I know. Well, a lot of people think that because they have not done their homework. They're really just listening to the propaganda that's been put out there by drug companies and their surrogates, who are the medical industry and governments and the media. So they just believe what they've been fed instead of looking in, you know, much deeper into what this is. And just thinking about, you know, how do all the animals out there in the wild survive? Because they're doing what nature intended, not because they're listening to drug companies.
Yeah, and you know, this is a discussion we can have, you know, and I'm all in favour of people having different points of view and talking it out, you know, and people having the choice to take more or less medicines, because I really do believe in a free society. That is absolutely fundamental to my belief. But my main concern and the main reason why I do these shows is because within the lobby on the other side of the equation, they don't believe in a free society. And it's actually a whole other issue. It's really a political question. But the people who are on the side of the fully medicalized paradigm, which denies the effectiveness of natural health and basically sees the human body and sees health in a particular way, that they also don't believe in essentially believe in freedom. I mean, it's really hard to even articulate this because it's sort of mind-boggling. For someone who's grown up believing that freedom and freedom of expression are intrinsic to our society. But what I've had to learn, and I've learned it gradually over the past decade or two, having interacted with these types of people, is that they do not believe in a free and open society.
No, that's right. Absolutely not. When people believe that that you can censor a children's book, like even the Australian Medical Association president was trying to have my children's book, Melanie's Marvelous Measles, removed from bookshops.
Yes.
And, you know, he was trying to say that parents are going to make a decision based on this book. Well, that's absolutely ludicrous. No parent who believes in vaccination is going to buy a book called Melanie's Marvelous Measles to start with. The book was purely for people who have already made the decision, so that they can educate their children about, you know, childhood diseases, the ineffectiveness of vaccination and the danger of vaccinations.
And we're just going to break. Sorry to interrupt. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. We're just going to break. And I'm talking to Stephanie Messenger. We will be right back for one more segment. Don't go away. Stephanie, you were talking there about your book, Melanie's Marvelous Measles, which the Australian government attempted to have removed from bookstores. Maybe just continue where you left off from that discussion.
Yeah, no, it wasn't the Australian government. It was the Australian Medical Association.
Goodness me. Okay. That's pretty shocking too, though. Yeah, please continue. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So the book, by the way, is fully referenced by a PhD immunologist, and she did review it as well, and that is on my website, which is naturematters.info.
Really? A PhD immunologist actually reviewed the book and didn't find it abhorrent?
No, she reviewed the book and she referenced it as well. So her review and reference is on that website as well as another medical researcher has also reviewed it for me as well. And both of these individuals came forward without me requesting it and offered to do that because they believe in it. So a lot of people have the idea that all of the medical profession is for vaccination, and that is actually totally not true. There is a growing number of doctors who now are looking into the issue and many others who have already looked deep enough to see that they have been deceived in medical school and will no longer go along with that. So, but they are, of course, being silenced as well.
Yes.
In Australia, when Dr. Brendan Nelson was head of the AMA in New South Wales, he said on, once again, mainstream TV that any doctor who spoke out against vaccination will be stricken from the register. So it's very interesting that someone like the AMA has to threaten their own members, basically, to be quiet about things. But at the end of the day, I believe that most doctors are pretty good people and they do want to be doing the best for their patients. But the industry really has been hijacked by the drug companies to a great extent. And that's a very big problem with science today.
But it is. I mean, I was going to say, you know, I was just about to say it's really time that we started to get more qualified, mainstream qualified people, especially immunologists coming forward. But if the threat is so severe on their career, I can see why they won't speak out. I mean, it really is too dangerous for them. I mean,
it's career suicide, really, it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, all you have to do is look at what happened to Dr. Andrew Wakefield.
Indeed,
you know,
yes,
that man
yes.
was just speaking the truth. He was still very much in favour of vaccination. All he was saying was that the measles virus was in the gut of these children and it shouldn't be. And he was recommending that children receive the vaccines all separately at the time. Yet they went after him in such a big way. But, you know, over the time, because that was 1998, and since that time his research has been duplicated and been shown to be valid. And also just, you know, mid-last year, from the Centre of Disease Control in the US, a whistleblower has come forward to say that he was one of the authors of research that was done from 1999 to 2004 that was supposed to prove that there was no link between the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine and autism. But when their research showed that that was not the case, that there really is a link between the MMR vaccine and autism, they actually removed a lot of the children with autism from the study before it was published. Now, he just came out last year, which was 10 years later, and has admitted that he was one of the people who falsified that that research.
Now, this was the study that he said showed that African American children had a higher risk. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And look, that should, with the epidemic that's happening now all across the world with autism, that should have been the top, you know, newspaper and the leading story on every news bulletin around the world, and it should have been up there for, you know, days and days and days. It should have been discussed, but no, there was a blackout on it for the mainstream media around the country. And I often hear people, and I see posts on Facebook and places saying, oh, look, I'd rather my children had autism than got measles. What an absolute load of rubbish. These people have no idea what autism really is about. And I have seen so many low-functioning autistic children. The families, you know, they have teenagers and children now into their 20s who are still in nappies,
yeah,
or diapers for your US audience.
Yeah.
This is a very big story, and these children are going to be needed to be cared for the rest of their lives. So what an incredible drain on the public purse that is. Also, supposedly to stop them getting measles, when we've already seen that the measles vaccine doesn't work anyway. There was a lot of children in the Disneyland episode that's just gone on over the last few weeks who were, in fact, fully vaccinated. So it's really quite amazing. And you did mention herd immunity quite early on in this bulletin. And I just want to really tell you that if you haven't looked into this, herd immunity is nothing but a myth. There is no scientific evidence to show that herd immunity is even real. But it's just yet another part of the propaganda that is put out by drug companies, and then
it's very powerful propaganda, because it actually taps into the concept of the greater good and our responsibility to others. And mm-hmm. and this is a concept that that does have a lot of resonance with people. You know, you think, you know, you should do your bit to help other people, and so it's a very difficult one, I find, to actually argue against for that reason.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Is it has this sort of, that there's something instinctive in people that says, yeah, well, that's right. You've got to help, you know, you have to consider the greater good, not only yourself.
Well, you know what? The greater good is that if everyone looked after their children and, you know, really focused on keeping their children healthy, that would be for the greater good. But the greater good argument, if you ask people if they believe in human sacrifice, they will say no.
Right.
But they actually do, because they agree that it's okay for some children to die so others can live, right?
Yes, yes.
And it's not any different than tribes people in centuries gone by who used to take a 13-year-old virgin to the edge of a volcano and push her in to appease the gods so that the tribe would be safe. It is no different. It's human sacrifice, and what right have they got to say it's okay for some children to die so that others will live?
And very
what
good
gives
point.
Them the right?
And I think this is why the authorities continue to deny through PR that occurs. I saw an interview that was conducted on Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman speaking to Dr. Paul Offit. And the first time I'd ever seen this man talking. I know he's regarded as a leading expert in immunology and various things. He's a very heavy PR spokesperson for vaccines. Mm. And he denied any dangers of vaccines. I mean, he went to the absolute extreme that actually just really took my breath away of basically denying any danger from vaccines whatsoever. And when he was actually asked right at the very end, the interview was very softball, but he was asked at the end about the vaccine court compensation payouts that have been made to vaccine victims. He denied them as well. It's quite incredible, Stephanie. He actually denied, he didn't deny the payouts had been made, but he said that proves nothing. He said just because it was proven in court and they paid all that money, that doesn't mean that it's real. He said they just paid the money to keep people quiet.
Yes, I know. And I've seen a lot of what Dr. Offit has written. But look, at the end of the day, he makes an enormous amount of money because he has patents on vaccine. So of course he's going to say that, isn't he? Really? But
yes.
Parents are not stupid. Even though they're treated as being stupid by governments, they are not stupid. They see when their children were perfectly good and then suddenly they're not after they've been vaccinated. And I personally believe this is one of the reasons that they are now vaccinating children at birth and vaccinating pregnant women.
Yes.
Because it's very possible for those babies now to come out damaged.
Yeah.
And if they're being vaccinated the first day of birth, then those parents have no idea what that baby would be like without those poisons put into the baby's body.
Yes.
So previous to the hepatitis B vaccine being introduced, parents had those babies for 2 months where they did not have all of the toxins go into their body. So they could see when they were vaccinated how the babies had changed.
Yes.
But now they're vaccinated on their day they're born, parents don't have a clue. So
absolutely.
That's all part of the grand plan for them to keep parents in the dark about what's really happened to their babies. But the side effects are happening. Even the rotavirus vaccine, which is one of Offit's vaccines, it has a product insert that shows what happened during the trial period. It's really ludicrous that he would even make such outlandish statements, but it's a declaration of who he is, isn't it, in that way?
Indeed it is. And I'll just put this out there. I think we need something like a WikiLeaks for doctors and medical experts to come forward anonymously. I think this is vitally important. I think we need a channel for people who are dissidents, who are working within the field, to be able to come forward.
Yeah. Definitely. It would be a step in the right direction, that's for sure.
We are, indeed. And we are at the end of the hour. Stephanie, thank you so much. It's been a really excellent chat.
Thank you very much. Okay, talk to you another time.
Yeah, and we'll be back next week with Truth News Radio Australia signing out. See you next week, folks.